You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged, episode 675, part two of Coach's 1-2-2 press. We're going to talk about it in greater detail today. But before we jump into that, big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. The most innovative. What I love is that you can run the whole machine through your phone. I just love that aspect of it and the workouts and the, you know, trust me, there's everything that you need that machine has. So go over and check it out. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off your next purchase. And I own two of them. Tell you about it. And also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial. Jump in now. I'm telling you, you're going to want in. If you don't think you're going to have a season, we've got stuff for you. If you think you're going to have a season, we've got stuff for you. We've got stuff for everybody. So come over and check it out. And let's head off to the podcast.
Okay. It's just a whole spacing concept. So again, we dribble into a 1-2 trap. We drag it back to this spot right here. She throws it over here. Again, everybody rotates. They dribble into a 1-2 trap. They drag it back. Everybody shifts back. They throw it back over. So everything starts with this girl right here.
Okay.
She now takes and throws across half court, and we sprint into a 2-3 trap. Okay, now, again, there's no over and backs here.
Right.
So once we rotate, everyone rotates for that 2-3 trap. She throws it back. We drag it back. Everyone, again, move. Spacing. Throw it over here. Same thing. She catches it, pitches it ahead. We get into a 2-3 trap.
Okay.
Now, one thing on the 2-3 trap, if you want that 3 to catch it, she can always catch it and then just throw it to the person, hand it to the person, and then get into a trap, just so you get right into the mentality of picking it off.
Yep.
Okay? So again, we do the same thing here. Then we take and dribble into a 1-2 trap. Then we pitch it ahead and then into a 2-3 trap. Throw it ahead to a 2-3 trap. Throw it back, drag it back. Same thing, dribble into a 1-2 trap, throw into a 2-3 trap. Take it back over here. And the last thing we do once we get back to this position is we will make that long diagonal pass. And there the job of the 3 is, that is, we don't trap long passes. They see it coming. It's just not going to be, you're not going to get anything from it. So the 3 will take it while that 2 is sprinting back. And once the 2 gets there, the 3, and again, everyone rotates. 3's out, the 3's over. The backside 2 rotates back, the 1 drops. But when that 2 gets over there, she'll bump that 3 back. And then we're back into our quarter court.
Okay.
And that's a good conditioner. You can do that.
And you do that for 45 seconds.
45 seconds. Again, you have to have good girls here because these two are the ones that control the whole thing.
Right.
These two offensive players. They gotta know what's kind of going on. And I'm usually telling them what to do. But, you know, like with you, I mean, with boys, it could be 40 or less maybe. And you can get it done. If they're working hard enough, you can get it done. And if any time, let's say the ball happens to go, we throw it from here to here because it's open or something in this drill, which you could because they're not playing tag, then you can start them over if you want. So you can make it a real, you know, it's a good – they have to be booking. They have to be moving or they take a start over.
I love that. I love that. So, and that would work again. That would work with anything. Like even if you were doing a diamond in one or you're doing my 1-3-1, I love that.
But again, it just introduces, you know, the 1-2 traps, the 2-3 traps, where we rotate, who's taking what, who's covering middle, playing tag, you know, spring on air time. It covers everything.
I don't care what people say. Shell is still one of the best drills ever. Like I know there's a movement for all of Shell. Sometimes you just have to teach them what to do. It's first hour. Go to first hour. It's room 752.
Yes.
You know, you just need to stand here. Get in line. Like, you know, sometimes you just, I mean, I'm serious. Like, and I think we skipped that a little bit too much when we were putting it in. And I think
we will take now, usually on the first day, we will do that. Then we're going to usually do our quarter court drills. Cause that's where, I mean, it's like any type of defense. You're going to spend the majority.
Here, move the camera over so I can see is that the progression on the side?
This is just another one. Yes. Over here.
Yeah. Move it up so I can see okay. So we did,
we've done this.
We did this. Okay. Yeah. So do you go, so this is what I'm going to ask. So do you do all the, okay.
We usually do on day one, we'll do that drill, the 5-on-5 shell, and then we'll do pretty much these right here.
Most
we'll do our half. These are more of our quarter court breakdown.
And you do most of your quarter court for a longer period of time to make
sure
you get it?
We will do the 3-on-4. Usually these are maybe, let's say, 8-minute drills, 8 to 10 minute drills, maybe. And then, what we do is like with these two, I'm usually taking, these are for the 1s and 2s in the quarter court.
Yeah.
So I'm doing those on one end while my assistant is doing the figure eight drill with the 3s on the other end.
Okay.
So they're kind of getting done at the same time in about 10 or so minutes.
Okay.
And then the 5-on-8 shell drill is all you do is just take those drills and you put it together for the 5-on-8 shell drill.
Okay. So, all right, good. Let's go back to this then. That's
okay.
Yeah, that's where I need work on is the progression of breakdown, I think.
But I'm going to go ahead and just go over the real quickly, the 3-quarter court drills.
Yeah.
And then we'll do those.
Yeah.
And I'll just try to, but this is a 3-on-3, 1s and 2s. So this kind of works on your 1-2 trap. So I'm just going to, since we've already went over the different trapping
stuff. Yeah, we don't need to do that. I just want to know what
so
it is.
So on this is, you know, our one can deny this.
Yeah.
But once the ball goes in, you know, this person might
teach,
come over
do
here.
Do you teach your one different reads or when you're doing these breakdowns or you let them figure out the reads?
A lot of times we let them figure it out. But, you know, but we tell them, you know, if they have a one guard front, like on a press breaker, instead of just staying right there, if you want to go deny it, you can deny it all you want. It doesn't matter. But here.
How tall are the girls you're playing? Let's say I've got a 6'1 girl. I'm just going to put her at the free throw line and just throw it to her and then turn and we're going to go.
We could take it and deny it. We'll take it maybe. We might face guard her because if they throw over top, we got our 2s maybe cheating up or something. So we might do something like that.
Has that happened to you?
No. But our main thing is if we're going to take it and deny it, we're going to try to push them out here and have them catch it out on the side. So once the ball gets in, the inbounder basically just becomes a 2-guard front.
Right.
And then we basically just play it 3-on-3. So what we're trying to do is get them in a speed dribble and get a 1-2 trap here. If they happen to throw over here, we are sprinting. The middle girl on offense cannot leave the center circle because we have no one back. So, you know, it's trying to cheat the drill. But if they happen to ping pong it over, then everybody's sprinting out and we're going to try to get another trap on the other side.
Okay.
So here's one. This we might run where you have to get 3.
Okay.
Once you get 3 straps, we sub somebody out. And, you know, if you're having a bad day and kind of want to make it real hard is, you know, if somehow they take and, you know, and a stop would be like a good trap, a steal, whatever. If something happens, you don't get a good trap, something, you can start it over and they start with 0. But we'll do that. So that's 3-on-3 in the top of the press. Eventually, what we'll do is we'll put our 3s back here. And this becomes our 5-on-4. So now we'll put one person back. So we have 4 on offense, 5 on defense. We have all 5 defenders on defense. So now we have an outlet up the sideline. So we're doing the same thing up front. But now if they want to throw across, we're going to work on our 2-3.
Do you have the offense go side to side or stay stationary?
This person, nope, they can take and go anywhere they want.
Okay.
And if they catch it on here, you know, if they catch it here, this middle person could dive because now
you got everybody out there. But can the offensive person move forward? The center circle person has to stay there in the center.
They have to stay there. The only time, so even in the first drill and here, they have to stay in the center.
Okay.
The only time they can move. Now, if they want to stay, they want to move around a little bit in the center circle.
No, that's good. But I think why I like that is I think everyone's teaching go to the middle, if I'm breaking it, I'm saying cut to the middle, go to the middle. So you don't want that person to cheat the drill. Yeah. I like that.
So that's our 5-on-4. So we start off with our 1s and 2s on our 3-on-3, and then we'll do 5-on-4, where now you're working a little bit of 2-3 trap. And then we'll do a drill called our 10-4 drill. Again, this is a Quincy drill, a Quincy, Illinois, Lauren Wallace drill. So 10-4 is basically a scrimmage session. The defense is constantly on defense. The offense is playing offense. Okay. So it's called 10-4 because the defense has to get 10 points before the offense gets 4. A point on defense is anytime you get a deflection, it's a point.
Right.
Anytime you get a steal, it's a point.
Okay.
If they turn the ball over, it's a point. You know, if they travel, throw the ball out of bounds, again, it's a point. If you get a steal and then you get a layup, so there's there's different ways to get your points.
Right.
The offense gets 4 points. I mean, you can play it ones and twos, twos and three, whatever you want to do.
Right.
But the defense has to take in, it makes them take and get a little bit aggressive. You know, we'll come down and let's say we get a steal, we pitch it ahead, okay, and then right when the ball goes in, let's say we got 2 points for the defense. The offense quickly takes it out, and they start going again.
So you're telling the offense, go, 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 go.
Yeah, and usually with the, and we'll do this maybe on the second day or so, and I'll tell my offense, at that time, we haven't really went over our press offense. So I'll say, I care less what you're doing on offense. You guys just take in.
I think the point to the listeners is you're giving points to what you want to have happen. No matter whatever you do, every drill I've ever done, it's like, we rebound pretty well in the offensive glass because all the drills we do, mm-hmm. I reward people taking charges. I reward offense.
Yeah, so
you're rewarding the offense to go. Like, I'm going to give you more points if you go.
And if you want to give, one of the things we do on the offensive end is, you know, if they get an offensive board, we give them 2 points so they can get.
Okay. So why is it called 10-4? Why is it called 10-4?
10-4 because the defense is trying to get 10 points before the offense gets 4.
Four. Okay.
So again, the defense, it's, I'll tell them the easiest way to get points is deflections. So just by being aggressive, getting your hands up, you might get a tip. They might get, the offense might still get the ball, but at least you give your point. At least you get a point up on the board.
Yeah, like that. Okay.
But we'll play it out. So once they break the press, then we go into like our quarter court. So they're basically, you know, the offense is running whatever they want to do on offense, but the play doesn't stop until once we get a defensive board, we stop, we go the other way. We just throw it out of bounds. We get back protecting the other basket.
Right.
And we just, it's just continuous.
I love that the defense just stays too, because then you can work on rotations.
But coach, if you happen to get a steal or something in the half court, we play it. Once you get the steal and you transition down, so let's say I get a steal, 1-2 trap, I get a steal. If you miss the layup, you only get one chance at a putback. So if somebody gets a rebound and puts it back and misses it, it's done.
Done.
If the other team gets the ball, going the other way again. But if you get a putback, and that just kind of teaches your girls to sprint and follow, you know, follow the shot type thing.
I like that. I like that.
That's the 10-4 drill. We'll do a drill called offense to defensive transition where I'll have, can you see this? Okay.
I can.
Okay. I'll put like 5 players.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I will take in the team that's going to be on defense. They just go down. They just transition down 5-on-0, like dummy offense.
Right.
You can work whatever offense. Just work on your transition game, work on your offense.
So it's 5-on-0. It's 5-on-0.
5-on-0. And then once they take and shoot, so I tell them, you know, maybe after about 3 or 4 passes, somebody's got to take a shot.
Okay.
But once that leaves their hand, the coach is right here with the ball. They're going to throw it to one of these girls that's on the baseline. And the team that was on offense, run their dummy offense, have to sprint back. And now we're kind of working on our presses off of misses.
I like that. Is that the best way you found to do it off misses? Because that's not an easy thing to practice.
Scrimmage, really. Just we scrimmage quite a bit. So really, that's where we take.
Scrimmage is good, too. Okay, okay.
And when some of the quick key teaching points with off misses, because I'm sure coaches – usually when they ask me, like, you know, what are some of the things you talk about with misses?
Yeah.
We tell our one to slow down the ball. So on a miss, our one knows, like when we miss a shot, our one knows their job is to slow down the ball, giving everybody else a chance to get back. All 4 other players are sprinting through the middle of the floor. The twos, so let's say the one picks up the ball.
Okay, so before we do that, so I think that's a good point to make is, like, you are our first line of defense because everyone else is running for cover at this point. You have to stop the enemy. And slow them. You don't have to stop them. You just have to slow them. I love that because I think that's what you sell to your one too. It's like you are the most important person on a miss because you have to slow us. Yeah.
Just buy your team an extra second or two to get back.
Right. That's all it takes is the setup. Yeah.
And we don't designate, you know, some coaches will designate like what they call halfbacks or fullbacks or something. You know, we just tell our twos, the twos have to get back as deep as they have to, you know. So if they have the ball, but let's say somebody sprints their floor and they're here, the twos might have to get back here. But when the threes, when they're sprinting back to the middle, because again, we want to keep on the side, so everybody has to sprint back to the middle. Once those threes get close enough or start getting by them, then the twos start moving up, and then we'll start getting into where, you know, it might be off a miss, it might be a 3-quarter court press, it might be a half court, it's wherever we can get into it the quickest.
Okay.
But the twos cannot. One thing that the girls know, it upsets me, is here comes the ball, and this two will help up, and they'll leave that pass over top for letting them get back. When the threes get behind you, then start moving up a little bit.
So your twos are getting back and protecting the village, basically.
So the twos are kind of like your they're kind of like your halfbacks, your fullbacks until the threes get by them. Then they start moving up a little bit. But
they tend to be more guards, so they're quicker. They're probably quicker and faster. I love that. Okay, that's a great point. I love that.
Teams that like to run on you. You know, the quicker you get back in your press, eventually, after a few possessions, they almost quit running. I mean, it's almost like they just come to a standstill, and then it becomes just, you know, they just, again, pass.
Yeah, there's no easy way. I haven't seen it. If anybody's got it, it's like that's a hard – scrimmage tends to be the best way to do that transition.
It is. It is just getting their legs conditioned.
It's so hard to do it on a miss. It's easy because they're taking it out of bounds, and you can simulate it. That's a hard thing to simulate. But I like that. That's a great idea. Like, well, we'll just go 5-on-0. Maybe we'll work on our quick hitters or our plays or something. Mm-hmm. 1-2 passes, take a shot, and then
we'll do like the 10-4 drill. We'll do like a 4-minute scrimmage, and we'll keep score, offense, and defense. So it's kind of like a 10-4 drill by the way you're keeping track of your points.
Right.
But it's a constant scrimmage. So the defense isn't on defense the whole time. They're converting offense to defense, but we'll give them the same point value and stuff for 4 minutes. Something else we do. In the half court.
What's the figure eight thing? Wasn't there a figure eight thing with the bigs?
So that's what we just went over. What we just went over was more of like the three-quarter court drills.
Okay.
So like I said, on day one, we might do the 5-on-5 shift.
Right.
Day two, three, we might do these 3-on-3, 5-on-4, 10-4 drills, all those. Okay, but the majority of your half court or majority of the game is going to be played in the quarter court because they only got 10 seconds to get across.
Right.
You're not going to get a steal every time.
Right.
Everything's going to be played here. So, Steve, I'm going to quickly do the 3-on-4 drill first.
Yeah, okay.
So the guards,
and that's the quarter court one, right? Is that three court? Yeah.
So while I'm doing this, the three-on-four down here with my guard, my ones and twos, my JV coach is doing the figure eight at the other end.
Okay.
Like, so this is just shell drill, like you said. This is 3-on-4. Yeah, okay. 3-on-4. So what they're doing is just working where do they go based on the ball in the quarter court. Again, when the ball's up top, our one is pressuring. If you want the one to get to a side and start working on pushing them over, you can. But usually we just play them straight up at times. The twos are, we always talk, make sure you protect inside out. You know, so don't be way out here, you know, out wide where you're going to give up this pass right here. We play where these guys, you know, they got their hands and they're almost, I wouldn't say they're almost touching. But if they make this pass, they're close enough together, they can get a tip on it. When the pass gets, so they're protecting the high post. When the pass goes to the wing, the two on air time, the two is taking it. And we tell them belly button to the sideline. I mean, we don't play top side or low side. We play straight up parallel to the sideline.
Okay.
So we have on that pass, the two takes it. Our one is a sprint, and they are setting up shop right there above the elbow with their inside hand. If a team has a mid post there, they're going to have their right hand, their low hand, their bottom hand is going to be basically in the gut of that player right there.
Okay.
Yep. Because we don't want to front them. We want to just get – because if we read this pass and they throw this ball back up top, we might be able to shoot this gap right here for a steal. It's going to be right here. The backside two, they drop a little bit. They don't drop all the way down because there's going to be a three kind of at the rim line or so, but they just drop a few feet down with their butt to that backside corner. Again, when they pass it back up, she's sprinting in. She's going up. And what we call this a J move where – we might have them take a step to the middle of the floor and then just kind of work on our angles again. Just take away maybe that little move right there. They might not throw that pass to the high post. Okay, and then again the two comes up. Same thing.
And that's where they're looking. They're looking at the high post too.
Yep. And if they see it, they throw it. We're always looking in. So that high post player just moves side to side there about that mid post area, and we have to protect it.
Hey, coach. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. A couple things that doesn't cost you a cent to do. You can subscribe and like, leave a written review. We really like that. You can go over to our YouTube channel. Just type in T-Tubes on YouTube and you'll find our YouTube channel. Subscribe, like there so you'll always get the updates. Next thing is if you do any shopping on Amazon, go down below, click our Amazon link, www.ttubes.com/Amazon. Anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, we get a small little commission. Helps us with our hosting fees. Be surprised how expensive it is to run one of these. And if you really love this stuff, you know, let me help you. Let me mentor you. Let me email. Let me get on one-on-one calls. Let me show you all the resources that will help me become one of the winningest coaches in the state of Wisconsin. You know, that's why I'm doing this. I want to help coaches become better. So ttubes.com can do that. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
So that's all it is basically working the ones and twos. When the ball goes to the wing, the two sprints out. The one sprints down to the high post, the backside two drops. And
you have to work on this all the time because most of the time it's in this part of the court more than the full court.
Yes. So that's our 3-on-4.
Right.
Then what we'll do sometimes is we'll take and put a 2-guard front out here.
Which is what most people do versus an odd zone.
Now the one there will play kind of like they do in the press part. They'll play in between.
Okay.
Our twos now, it's almost like you've taken your court and turned it. So if here's your high post, the twos are a little bit, this one's maybe a step out. This one's a step here. They're still protecting here, but they're kind of angled on this. So again, if the pass gets made, they'll come over. She'll move over. She'll take middle. If they bobble it, we can come up and we can work on our 1-2 traps. So if they're in a 1-2 trap here, we know the two has to protect middle. If the ball goes to the corner, then the two has to play. You know, in a real game, this would be a 3 out here. This would be a 2-3 trap.
Right.
So the two plays top. The two does play top side there because they have to imagine a 3 being out
the
there.
The 3 being there. Okay. Yep.
And then, the 1 would drop. Backside 2 would then drop a little bit deeper on the backside.
And how long are these drills?
We will go for – we can do it for touches. You know, we might say, okay, if you get a deflection, you know, after 2 or 3 deflections, you're out. Or it could be just have them reverse the ball a couple times, you know.
What do you do with the threes then?
They are doing the figure eight drill. They're on the other end.
Yeah. Okay. And what's that?
Okay. So on
that's why I wasn't working with. I did that one. I did that drill with my guys, but
okay.
I didn't work
so the figure eight.
Now again, I can't see the bottom. I can't see quite the bottom of those little.
I'll move that.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah, yep. Got it.
There you go.
Okay. Yep. We've done it where we have the wings. We've done it where we do not. I'm going to put the wings in here for now, though.
Okay.
So when the ball's up top, they are dead fronting. The threes are dead fronting the
So we're normally in a 1-2-2. So the one is at the top of the key, the two's at the elbows. Okay.
You're doing the same thing. But so again, no ones, no twos, just the threes. When the ball goes to the wing, this 3 takes a step up and out right there. This 3, the backside 3 is pretty much rim line.
Okay, so where would the twos and ones be?
Twos right now, this would be a 2.
Yep.
This would be a 1. And the backside 2s just dropped a little bit, just like that.
Perfect. I'm just trying to get a sense of where they'd be. Okay.
So the 3s here, but they're a step up and out.
Yep.
Just so they're that much closer to maybe a shooter in the corner. When that ball goes there, they banana cut. They take away that baseline. And then this 3, here's your figure 8. This 3 goes on airtime. They go low side and they lead. So here, they would have their left hand out and they would X step through in front. So they're going to try to maybe reach around with their low hand, their low arm. So because a lot of times, once or twice a game, they'll think that looks open and they'll try to make that pass in there. And this person will come from behind the bottom side and they'll get a deflection and get a steal. But if they don't get, so what they'll do is they'll lead with that low hand and then almost like you're like 3/4 on the low side.
Right.
And then you take and step through and then we dead front. And then when the ball goes back out, she goes over top, back to her spot. This person sprints back in. And again, if you look at it, it's kind of like running a figure eight. Point is they have to take and they go low side.
You have to front the
ball. Yep.
You
but they have to go low side. If they try to fight over top high side,
you're done. You're sealed.
The post player's going to seal you. They're going to ride you up that lane line. So we go low side. Plus, if you go low side, you have that one that's kind of towards that mid post, so they can kind of help a little bit. So that's what it is. So basically,
for anybody that's going to do any sort of trapping, you got to front that low block always.
Yep. And there's
high school kids are horrible making that pass anyway, so don't even worry about the lob. People worry about the lob too much. You know how many good lobs I've seen in 30 years? Like 6.
And like right here,
like, maybe seriously. Think about it.
If this 3 is fronting, that backside 2, the deeper the ball to the corner, the deeper the 2 has to rotate.
Right, but how many times can that person, if 3 is giving any ball pressure in the corner, make the pass to the lob?
And there's your – that's your key.
If they make
that pass, that's on that 3. That girl is not putting enough pressure
on that corner. If you front a low block in anything like this, I mean – now, if you got a 6'11 future NBA star, okay. But very few people can make that pass effectively.
And then when they throw that pass back out, they have to, again, fight over top.
Yeah.
Again, they go back to their spot. They come back in, step off and up.
I love
that.
And
again, same thing. Ball goes over here. They go out. They go underneath. So they're running like a figure eight.
I like that. I like the name, too, because it kind of shows them what you're doing.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then to make it simple, the 5-on-8 –
so you're doing that. You're doing that figure eight while your other coach is doing the figure eight. What are you doing then?
I'm doing that 3-on-3. I'm doing that guard one.
You're doing the guard one.
We just went over.
I'm trying to sense my practice. So in a practice thing, that would be 5 minutes total. You don't need to switch.
Day,
you don't need to switch.
Now if you have girls that take and can play both, you know, we do have some threes that can play.
Oh, yeah, that's
two.
That's true.
Then, but you can do is on day one, wherever you think they're going to play the most, have them do it. On day one, I'd have them go there, you know, for a 3 or 2. But the next day, you might say, hey, you might tell your coach, get this person in 30 seconds.
And then go grab them.
And then go the other side or something. Okay. But like on day one, this, I'd say that's probably going to take about 10 or so minutes the first day or so. But once you get going, then
are you doing that in January? Are you doing all this stuff in January?
No, because you'll see, because on the next drill, see, we put it all together. So we have 8 offensive players against our 5 defensive players. So we're going 5-on-8.
Okay.
So this is the same thing you just did. It's just you're putting it all together.
But that you're doing in January.
Yes. We do a lot of this stuff for like even scouting reports.
Okay.
You know, because if we're going to play a team that shoots a lot of threes.
Right.
We might.
In the corner, yeah.
You have to make sure you cover this. You know, if they get a good look 3 off, we give the offense a point. If it goes in, we give them 2. So, and then we take in, you know, blue rotates off, white rotates on, and whoever has the lowest score wins at the end, you know.
Okay.
So we do a lot of stuff out of this 5-on-8, but this is the same thing you just saw, except for we're just putting everybody together. So these guys are running their figure 8 like they did. These guys are running that 3-on-4 or 3-on-5 drill, but we're just putting together. So after that first week or so, you don't even have to do those first few drills. Okay. This would be where you'd want to start probably.
Okay.
Right here.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is just like, say, 5-on-8. Eventually, you know, it's kind of like a shell with, you can have them stationary if you want to have them. If you want to work the dribble drive, now every couple passes, they work on trying to get into a gap, whatever, you know. Yep. So that's their 5-on-8 drill. Eventually, we'll play it live. We'll play 5-on-6. So we'll just get the offense 6 players. The person inside can move around anywhere they want. There's no 3 seconds. They can flash. They can go short corner. And we'll just play it live.
Okay.
5-on-6.
Do you – is there a specific – what offense do you run?
We run motion against anything.
Okay. And do you think that works with this – I mean, is there a reason you're running that offense with this defense is my question.
No. It's just something we've always – I'll tell you this, though. I think when it comes to – with us being aggressive in the full ball press –
that was my question. Is you're it sounds like you're very aggressive the entire game.
It complements. Yes, I mean we transition. We have one of our pillars is attack mentality. Okay. So on defense, we're trying to be disruptive, attack you. You know, same thing offensively. We're not. So it's not like we're going to try to speed you up and stuff on in the defensive side, and we're going to be slow and, you know.
No, so if I'm open and I'm a shooter, you're going to say, okay, shoot it. You don't care if it's 5 seconds into the offense.
I don't want to say we run a Grinnell style where we just shoot up something, but depending on who it is and, you know.
But it's not slow. It's not like you coming down and trying to – okay.
No. But we try to be disciplined where, you know, if we can get that same shot after 3 or 4 passes, but in those 3 or 4 passes we might get a better shot, like a great, you know, a layup.
Right.
You know, we'll do them. But, again, a lot of it –
So what I'm trying to get to is your offensive possessions are relative faster than probably the teams that you play.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the shot clock. We would probably, if we had a shot clock in Missouri, that shot clock would probably never go off when we're playing on us.
I know. Okay. You know, I mean, I'm just thinking for coaches that are listening, 15. It's like, don't run flex. And you make could. 35 pass. You could run flex. Flex you is could, fine.
But like my former coach, he runs flex and he runs ball press, but his ball press is more of a contain. It's not as aggressive.
Yes.
So, you know, he don't mind his scores being in the 40s and stuff. We usually score somewhere in the to mid to upper 60s with the girls.
So what I'm saying to the listeners or the coaches too is if you're going to run this, at least as one of your counters, you're not going to come down and run Carolina's 4 corners. Like,
it's
counter, then don't do it because it's like you're either picking up the pace or you're not picking up the pace.
Yeah, we're big on, you know, points per possession. We're looking for try to get, you know, deflections. So we're trying to play at a faster pace, but not one of those.
So that's where I think picking an offense is important too. It's like it doesn't have to be motion. It could be dribble drive. There's lots of offenses that would work with this. There's probably very few that won't because most don't tend to be the more slow – you know, blocker, mover, I mean, some of those tend to be a little bit more.
But the good thing, like I said at the beginning, the good thing about this defense is it's a tempo control. You can choose whatever type of tempo you want to play at. And same thing with your offense. Your offense can complement this.
So go back and zoom it out a little bit. I want to say, let's say you want to do that press so you can get the full court so I can see. I can't see the top. You got to move it up a little. My bad. I just want to see the top. There you go. So I can see the whole court. So show me how I would run this if I'm up 3 with 7 seconds to go, and I just want to slow you down.
Okay. We just call contain, like up 3, if you're up, you know, with a minute or so left, up 6, we might just say, hey, clock is our friend right now. We just want to take and run clock off right. So we'll do the same thing.
So what roles do you give the girls that are different?
We just take and their job is we don't want to trap. We just want to, that's going to be where we do more of that bluff and peel back. Okay. You know, make them, you know, if they want to make those passes, do so. We don't care.
Right.
But the last thing I want to do is get in a trap and they split us and now we're
got so two the ball. So behind. put a couple of people on up there with one. So what you're saying, one should go at, this is what I do with my guys too. One would go at that offensive player and then might not even get that close, might bluff it and then
feel back. Yeah. She can take a peel back and keep them off balance. They might take and peel back.
Yeah.
So we don't want any 1-2 traps. We don't want any 2-3 traps. We just want to make them make an extra pass or two. So I'll just yell blue and I'll just say, hey, we're contain. And then they just know to bluff, peel back, bluff.
What I've said is too, is like, if you bluff and peel back, that pass from guard to guard is scary at the end of a game. Like, they're not, if you fake like you're going to trap, they don't know if you're going to trap or not. You're the only one that knows you're going to trap.
Yep.
That peel back is, you call it contain. I like that.
We just call it contain. We're just making them.
Keep them in front of you. Yeah.
Don't let them score in the first 10 seconds, friends. You know, make them make the extra pass.
What I have found is one tends to get a little aggressive, like at that point. Like, especially if we've been doing it the whole game, it's like, so I almost need a call to tell him or her, stop, like, because they're so used to being aggressive, it's a hard thing to contain, like you're saying. Yeah,
we've done a good job over the last couple of years or the last year or so where we've like the drills you've seen today are kind of like the main drills, the ones we, you know, kind of work at the beginning, but then we'll start, once the season goes on, we might not do most of those drills. We might just do more of like a competitive scrimmage type things where like we'll go 5-on-5-on-5.
So for a coach listening, those drills we just went through, how long do you do those, like from your standpoint?
I'd say the first
month,
since, you know, to me, our
not defense, for you, so not, don't think your team, because your team, the girls that are coming back already know, like me or someone that's just starting to
I'd say at least 45 minutes to an hour the first, if you're going 2 hours, at least
right
the majority of the first half of practice or so. And we usually do them towards the beginning of practice.
Okay. I'm a big believer in defense early, not late in practice.
Yep.
They'll pay much closer attention to offense later in the practice.
Yes. We take in, with our practice planning, you know, we do a lot of transition stuff first, then we'll do defense. We'll always save like our offensive stuff towards the end because they're tired. It's like in a game, you want them kind of learning, you know, when you're fatigued at the end of the game, you got to be able to knock down shots. You got to be able to, that mentality, be able to think a little bit. So we'll usually do some offensive stuff maybe towards the end of practice. But like I said, you won't be able to do all those in the first, you know, you might, like say, the 5-on-5 shell, just to introduce the different traps in the 3-quarter. You might do like the 3-on-3-on-4 with the 1s and 2s. You might do the figure 8 drill on the other end, and you might do the 5-on-8. That might be the only thing you do in that first 45 minutes to an hour just to get it down. And then at least for the maybe the first couple of days.
But then post Christmas, you've done these enough that they kind of know.
Yeah.
And then probably tweaking for the opponents you're playing. Like, hey, team X is going to do this to us. Here's our counter or how we're going to read this. Yeah.
Yep. So
what causes the biggest problems for you from like opponents that you have?
What's that?
What causes the biggest problems for you from opponents that you have when, because they know you're doing this.
Not like, yeah. I'm gonna think anything like teams that have multiple shooters or so where you have to really be
2-3.
But again, that's with anything you do, it doesn't matter what you run.
If they can shoot threes, yeah.
Yeah, I say the main thing, you know, if you have girls that are smart and you know, I can go back and look at our stats off Huddle Assist and like over the last couple of years, and the teams that have just smart kids, they're maybe more experienced, they're older, they make less mistakes. That causes problems. So we're not getting the deflections. You can tell when we go longer into the season, you know, once we start getting a, you know, championship game of districts or sectionals or quarterfinals, whatever it is, you're not going to get as many of this, you know, you're going to still control the tempo. So the ball press is going to be doing things that benefit you, but you might not get as many deflections and steals.
Do you track deflections? Is there any statistics that you track in this?
I am big on your effective field goal percentage and then turnover percentage. You know, okay. If we can win those two categories, and that's something we're lucky to have huddle assists where
right.
they do it for us. But those are two categories. And then like points per possession, we try to get like this year, I think we were like 1.03. So we let us know we weren't turning the ball over. We were, you know, getting good look, you know,
right.
High percentage shots. And so usually those are the three things we take in track. We'll take a look at deflections. But usually it's just those. We just know if we win those two categories, you're going to win probably 97% of your games.
You're going to win lots of your games if you do that. I agree.
So, again, we want to take and turn people over, not turn it over ourselves. And we want to take and get, again, that being disciplined on offense, get good shots, get high percentage shots.
Okay, anything else for me or the coaches that are listening?
No, I really think when you start – putting this in, like, let's say it's a coach that, like, I know, Steve, you took and did a little bit of this season.
I did. So, I did. And it worked at times. The problem is it kind of got lost in the shuffle because we had some we had to work with. But
like, a coach listening and they're putting this in, I think you have to be, you know, the first thing I'll tell people is you have to sell it to your team. You have to be a good salesman.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I did when I got here.
Would put it in early, too. I'd put it in early.
Yeah, I put it in, like I said, my first year here. You know, I moved down here in the summer, so I put it in over summer. But that first day I had them in open gym, and this is the first time I was really around my team. You know, I just try to sell them on, hey, we're gonna do something different that most teams don't do. That's we're going to press, makes and misses. You know, we're going to be different right. in that way. And like I've told other people, I had no clue I didn't know if anybody else was doing that around, but
right.
I just told, you know, we're going to do something different. And
it's a relatively easy sell, though.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think with girls, it was easy. I think, like I say, everybody likes to take and press and play right. that way.
Right.
And I think it's one of those things you have to kind of stay with. You know, there's going to be times where, you know, you're going to give up some things maybe early. But, you know, some coaches are too quick to scrap it and do something right. else. You know, I right. think it's your all-in type defenses.
Well, especially for coaches that are building programs, too. You got to look at what's coming up. Are you going to yes. have – those kind of players, are you going to, or maybe you're not, then it might not work, but
that's why I told you at the beginning, it's kind of a good program defense because you can tweak it
right.
to fit your team. You can, how aggressive you want to be, you know, the different pick, you know, if I have a team that's not as quick, maybe we don't pick up three quarter, maybe we do more in the half court to the quarter court,
right.
different things like that. So just, you know, I think you have to be a good salesman, and then you have to. I think if you believe in it, and the girls, your team, the boys know that you believe in it, they're going to believe in it.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. Leave a review. We love those 5-star reviews. We're going to leave a 1-star. You can skip to the next podcast. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.